Welcome back, Critical Gamers.
Welcome back, Critical Gamers.
My name is Marcus Terrell.
And I'm Richard Terrell.
And on this episode 4 of Critical Cast, and the theme is whoops.
The theme is not whoops.
And the theme is...
It's Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers.
Super Smash.
Bash Brothers.
Smash Bros.
Super Smash Brothers.
Smash Bros.
For a little recap, in episode 2, I covered the topic of expression, and what it means to express oneself and how to do it well. In episode 3 of Critical Cast, I presented my Trigon theory of video games, which claims that video games as a medium exists in a tug of war between three major views, games as art, technology, and business. In that episode and throughout my blog on critical gaming, I have defended gameplay. I argue that gameplay is the heart of video games and that through gameplay, we can engage with other players and designers most clearly. I argue that because gameplay is designed around complex systems and challenges, that gameplay inherently involves learning, and that this kind of experience attracts and sustains humble players and strong communities. Well, I can think of no better way to support these claims than to dive headfirst into the history and community of my favorite video game series of all time, Super Smash Bros.
It all started April 26th, 1999.
I was 12 years old.
And I was 14.
And I was bouncing around in the passenger seat as my dad drove me to Toys R Us. It was a Monday, and I remember it being dark outside because I had to wait for my dad to come home from work to go get the game. And there were a few games that I've anticipated as much as Smash 64.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Pokemon Blue.
Pokemon Red. And Game Boy Camera. I remember telling my dad about the game in the car, and he wasn't really a gamer, but he listened closely anyway. And I said stuff like, Smash 64 is the first four-player fighting game, so Marcus and I can play on the same team. And you can battle on the stage, and they can even knock you off, so you have to get back on again. And I'm gonna play Kirby. And my dad just nodded along.
The first time I played Smash 64 was at their house.
By the way, this is Chris Simpson, an old friend of ours.
And I was never really a big fan of fighting games up until that point. Don't really know that I had a ton of experience playing fighting games. I mean, I played Street Fighter and Tekken and some of the other classic fighting games, but I never really got into them because they, for some reason, I don't know, those games seemed very based in a certain kind of skill that was not very interesting to me. And Smash Brothers added, I feel like, a lot of elements that I already liked, for instance, the platforming elements, and I've always been a big fan of platformers. In terms of what sort of hooked me into the game, that was part of it. Also, just the idea that you could fight with all of these various Nintendo characters against one another was very cool. I mean, I guess it's similar to the Marvel vs. Capcom concept, which is, you know, you have these characters that you've grown up with and loved, and you've wondered sort of how they would stack up against one another. And this gives you sort of a direct way to sort of engage with characters back and forth and to compare their powers.
That was the summer of Smash Brothers, and it was also the summer my family moved us from Corpus Christi, Texas, to a little city called Flower Mound, just northwest of Dallas. It was a new town and we didn't have a lot of friends, so Marcus and I played Smash 64 for hundreds of hours with just us. And Smash Brothers is a game.
That is... It's a system of rules where players can exert effort in an attempt to obtain the ultimate victory.
There's really no story.
And the graphics of Smash 64 are very primitive to keep the game running at a smooth 60 frames per second.
So the point is to get in there and fight. And Smash 64 is a game with many options so that players can find their own kind of fun. You can play with lots of items.
There are different kinds of stages.
You can play free-for-all.
Free-for-all.
1v1s.
Teams of 2v2,
or even 3v1. You can make up strategies and play styles and really just play however you want. It's really up to you. Yeah, we could pretty much play it however we wanted, but Marcus and I ended up not fighting 1v1s very much. Instead, we worked as a team fighting two Donkey Kong CPUs, sharpening our skills and taking ourselves down in handicap for a challenge.
Can we ever make it all the way?
To one handicap?
Did we win it on one?
If we did, it was only once, and maybe never at all.
think our skills would be good enough. I was always ranging with my Link.
Yeah, and I was always grabbing your bombs and throwing them on the Donkey Kongs and then spiking them. But, you know, at one handicap, it's just one hit and you're gone. So, with Marcus as Link and me as Kirby, we practiced our strategies and coordination without an end goal in mind. Back then, there wasn't any competitive scene or hardly any internet. And why did we train so hard? What were we looking for? Well, at one point, I remember wondering out loud if we were the best Smash team in the world. I thought we were the best, but it bothered me that there was no way to know for sure. There was so much more to Smash 64 and to my story that wasn't tapped into, just playing practically in a vacuum. Something was missing, and I found that something in 2001. In the fall of 2001, on the cusp of the sequel to Smash Bros., Super Smash Bros. Melee, Marcus and I found some new friends to Smash with.
Hey, Marcus. What? There he is!
And this is another good friend of ours, Doug Binion.
So I remember when I first moved to Dallas and we met, we talked about video games, we talked about Smash Bros., and you made the comment that you were pretty good, and I thought, well, he's never played me, so he doesn't know what pretty good means. And so I said, well, let's play. And you said, all right, I'll probably win. I said, okay, well, we'll see, and I think you're probably going to lose. So we played, and I don't think I've ever been beat so soundly, especially with my own character, Kirby, at that point. That was with the Nintendo 64 Super Smash. And that was the beginning of a lot of hours of fun, intense, and crazy Smash Brothers between you and me, Chris, my brother Chris, Travis.
All right, my name's Travis Clark. I did play Smash Brothers. I played Smash Brothers on Nintendo 64. And then Smash Brothers Melee I played the most, and then I've played a little bit of Brawl. Definitely play NES and usually only NES.
The cool part about Smash Brothers is that we all get into the game for different reasons.
Well, the reason why I started playing Smash Brothers 64, my little brother played it, and I saw it and I kind of thought it was dumb, and so I just left it alone. And then the one day I was over at Doug Binion's house, and he was wanting to play that. I'm like, yeah, sure, I can mess around with that. And he completely trashed me, and kind of struck a competitive chord within me, and I had to go home and play the game and learn all the moves and go back and beat him, which took 4 or 5 months to actually go up and be able to beat him in Smash 64.
Another cool thing about Smash is that just playing the game together brings together all of our friends.
I played Melee once at Doug's house at his birthday party.
Oh, no. But, I mean, I guess bringing it back to what Doug was saying, because I guess that is the place to start, was that time that we first played it all together at Doug's house.
Chris, our friend Chris, had gotten he had gotten it for the GameCube, and you hadn't gotten it, and I hadn't gotten it, and we all had a big sleepover. And you had made a pact with your brother Marcus that you were not going to play it until you guys had your own copy. And I invited Chris to bring his game with him, so he brought the disc at my birthday party.
Yes, I remember that. That's right. Well, because I was the first one to get a GameCube. Wasn't that the case?
We got it at launch, but then we held off on opening it or at least getting Melee until Christmas. Yeah, I think we held off completely for playing it until Christmas.
Why did you do that?
It was so close anyway. It was like a month.
Yeah, but it's a new system.
And we decided to play the Nintendo 64 version for a while. And then Chris popped his in, and you and Marcus sat at the back of the room and tried not to watch the screen as the intro played. And it only took about 3.5 minutes before you had controllers in your hand that you had broken.
And I... Why are you laughing?
I just remember staying up so late playing that. And after everyone went to sleep, I kept playing with Travis to unlock Mewtwo, like in the middle of the night.
Yep, we stayed up all night.
So Soon after we formed our crew, our Smash Brothers journey took off. It was clear that I was the Flower Mountain hometown hero, because I could beat all of my friends pretty consistently. And we honestly thought we were good. The sparring with my friends never answered those deep questions I carried since Smash 64. How good am I? Why do I fight? So 2003, about a year after Melee was released, we entered Most Wanted.
Mother of all Smash tournaments. The biggest, perhaps even the greatest Texas tournament at that time.
So, I remember after school every day for a while, I would get in my little red trashy truck and drive over to your house. And my parents probably thought I was going to work or something because they might not have let me come otherwise. And we would practice at your house for about an hour. We'd go to the training mode and we would practice doing techniques that we were reading about online, or we'd seen people do at tournaments that you guys had seen, like wave sliding and catching items and using our shields more effectively. I remember you calculating out percentage damage and what weapons would cause a KO with that amount of damage, at what range, what weapons could be thrown, how far, whether they'd knock the person off the map and KO, you know, a bat versus a laser gun versus a whatever random Pokeball.
I kept on playing Smash 64 because I didn't. I was always behind the time with saving up for the new system, and so I didn't get onto the GameCube right away. Didn't play Smash Brothers right away. Instead, I kept on playing Smash 64 for a long time.
I just remember doing that, and then I remember Travis, our friend Travis, got involved, and he was a little bit behind at his skill level, not because he wasn't good, but he just hadn't played as much. So, and I remember there was some heated matches where he would put a lot of time and energy in and still get beat. He wasn't very happy about that. In the end, though, we were working up to most tournament and mother of all Smash tournaments. And I remember my dad thought I was nuts for spending a weekend driving down to play video games. But he said, whatever, it's your money, it's your time, you do what you want. So we got in the car, we drove, we were with that guy that was really nice that you guys knew. Yeah, Silas. He was awesome. I remember getting there and looking around and being like, I'd never seen so many GameCubes in one room. And there weren't that many. There was probably only like 10. At that time, you couldn't connect online and play. You know, you could, but it was not common to do so. You had to actually drive and be there.
I mean, that was before we even went on the internet and talked about it, before we even had any knowledge of the tier system.
Yeah.
Which I remember being very strange. And I remember, for some reason, when going on some of these forums, people would be talking about the tier system. And for some reason, I remember just being very skeptical of the tier system.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, that was funny.
And it probably wasn't until that actual first time we went to that tournament that sort of snapped me into reality.
Yeah.
In terms of realizing that, oh, this is a tier system, A. B, like, these people are really serious about this game, and they've played this a lot.
And we were there, and I remember feeling the intensity of watching other people play and wishing that I had prepared better.
And they know how to play. I mean, you did pretty well in the tournament. You did better than all of us, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I think that most of us did okay, if I remember correctly, like at the beginnings of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly was a clear separation at some point in the tournament where I was like, wow, these guys really take this seriously. And the guys that are really good and when they lose, like, get really angry. Like, I remember there was that one guy, and you ended up losing the match.
The Rob Falco player?
It might have been Rob Falco. I don't remember who it was. It was someone who was playing, yeah, one of the top tier characters. And it was on the Donkey Kong level.
Yeah, I have that on video.
You do?
Yeah, that was our... yeah, I still have that.
And you lost the match, but you, like, somehow, like, killed him, like, once or twice and were totally messing with him.
Yeah, at one point I taunted.
Yeah, and I remember he was so mad. In fact, even after he won, he was still really mad because the entire audience essentially was against him. And to some extent, it was us not being, I guess, as serious in a certain kind of way as they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was our first tournament, or it might have been your second or third tournament. I can't.
It was my first. It was my first serious like 1v1 and teamsmates tournament. I've been to the Akon free for all tournament that I won, and that's completely different.
yeah. But I just remember that some of those guys were so much more serious about it than we were.
It was worth it. I mean, I think we made some new friends, and I got to see that side of video gaming. Up until then, for me, it was just me and my best and closest friends, but there was a whole community that we were able to plug into and that existed even without me knowing it.
I mean, there was this sense that there was this whole world that we had not interacted with, and that this world had been communicating with one another and had all of these moves and strategies that we were not aware of up to that point because we had never engaged with that world. And then we ended up, you know, not winning the tournament, obviously.
So true.
And it was strange to sort of engage with that world and realize that if you wanted to compete at this level, you had to play differently and you had to sort of practice a lot more.
Yeah, and that was great. If you remember, though, I think one particular moment I remember about the end was right after we all lost and we were feeling down after most won, and after all that hard work we put in, I remember thinking something like, man, I am done with Smash for at least a few months or whatever. Like, I'm done. And I remember you were like, I'm done forever. I am not going back. And I just like looked, I was like, oh no, this is the beginning of the end. But all of us had different reactions, I remember, in our disappointment. Like, you were done forever. I said I was done for a couple of months, but 2 weeks later I was back in practicing, and it was really neat to see what sort of putting in that much effort and feeling that loss, how we reacted to it. It's something I'll never forget.
I think one thing that I was overwhelmed by was just the fact that some players were so far above my level that they were playing at a level that I didn't even know existed. You know, it's one thing to compete and fall short. It's another thing to compete and not be competitive. And I think that's where I realized that I was competing without being competitive, and at that point, it wasn't very fun. I enjoyed beating up on my little brothers, but getting beat up on by these other guys wasn't quite so enjoyable.
But at the same time, I do think that there is a difference between that serious player, that serious tournament player who spends hours and hours and hours and hours and hours practicing. And I don't know if it's just or mostly the practice, or if there's some kind of innate ability plus practice in the... I mean, obviously there's some innate ability, but the question is, you know, are certain players just born to be good at certain games? And, you know, can they just achieve this kind of mastery of these games that no matter how many hours someone else put into the game, they would just never be able to do? And I don't know the answer to that question. I guess with Doug, the answer was, I just don't care enough to find out. I remember what I was going to say. What is it, do you think, about... Well, I guess there are a couple questions. One, what do you think it is about certain games like Smash Brothers that drives people to put in all these hours and try to be the best at these sort of games? And two, what is it about the people?
Yeah, what is it about those players that play Smash on a very competitive level? We are one step closer to finding out, so stick with us on part two as we head into the origins of the competitive Smash community. I think it's interesting how my original crew of Smashers represent a wide range of players. Travis thought that Smash 64 was dumb at first and he didn't want to play. Doug and Chris dabbled into competitive Smash and decided it was too much work. But whether you think it's dumb, whether you play casually only, whether you get the competitive drive and commit until your first big loss, whether you're like most of the people on this podcast who have continued the fight, all of our stories follow the same pattern. We find something interesting, we step in, and we are snapped into reality. And then we have a choice to make on where to go from there. Whether to pick up the controller and fight, or to wrap it up and retire. We decided to fight. After Marcus and I did decently in singles and teams and most won, I couldn't give up. I still had questions. Even if I wasn't good enough to win then, I had to know if I could rise to the top. I needed a new crew and a new resolve to keep fighting. And thankfully, the D crew.
Collection of knuckleheads.
The guys responsible for spearheading the grassroots competitive Smash scene in Texas and beyond. They took us in and taught us how to play more competitively and sustain a more fun community at the same time.
Hello. Can you hear me? How's my sound?
Is this happening? This is amazing. This is the best day of my life.
Was I supposed to prepare for this or something?
First up, we have the founder of the D Crew, or Dallas Crew, and these guys were responsible for kickstarting in a very grassroots effort the competitive Melee scene in Texas back in 2002-2003. So the first guy you're going to hear goes by the name of Silas Elias, or Sammy.
I was Silas Elias. I thought it was really cool because it kind of rhymed. I used to play Super Smash Bros. Melee, and I played Peach, I guess. But now I play Luigi for fun.
You started with Mewtwo.
Did I? Probably, I don't know.
I remember.
I think everybody started with Mewtwo.
I am Matt Fairchild. I was Scav on Smashboards and in most places on the internet. I pretty much only played Super Smash Bros. Melee, but that luckily if you only play Melee, that means you have this 10 to 15 year window where your game was relevant. Oh, I think I went from Pikachu to Marth, and then Josh showed me I was terrible with Marth, and I'm like, I'm going to play Sheik. Then Crystal City showed me I was terrible at Sheik, and then I made the Smash career-defining decision to go to Mario and thus never play a relevant top tier again. And also, wow. I loved the little... Like, that was... Mario is definitely my character.
Matt's intro was way better than mine.
You're the man, Silas Elias, the name that rhymes.
Yeah.
My name is Josh. I am known as Corey on Smashboards. Corey is not my real name. It is my brother's name when he made the Smashboards account that he stopped using. And I could never make a Smashboards account work, so I just stole his.
I didn't know that. All right, so let's go all the way back to the grassroots days and sort of the events between Akon when we first met and Most One.
Yeah, Sammy is actually the one who kind of got us all together. Like, I remember seeing a post by him on Smashboard saying something about a tournament at Akon. I was like, sweet, I'm going to go to this, man. It's going to be awesome. And he's like, yeah, man, something like, we meet up with my friends and we play. I'm like, what? People, oh, sweet, I'm doing this.
It all started even before that, in the infant days of social competitive gaming. I was trying to get it started. I set up like projector screens in the middle of UTD soccer fields and try to get people to come, and there just wasn't anybody interested in social competitive gaming back then. And it pretty much waited till I retired from competitive gaming to finally take off and just spread like wildfire across the world.
It was after we played at Akon, and that's when we met, kind of. I just saw Josh or Corey walking around with a white t-shirt with the word Smashboards written on it, smashboards.com.
That was the best plan ever, obviously. I got you and Matt.
It was crazy.
That one Sharpie is responsible for this butterfly effect of Texas Smash.
I still have that
the shirt?
Video. No, well, the video of you guys winning that tournament. These obnoxious kids from Flower Mound just completely schooling everybody with Kirby tactics. And he would turn into a brick through Pokemon. And it just blew everybody's minds. Like, it was the most amazing thing we've ever seen.
I saw Corey Smashboards on Corey's shirt. Like, 6 months later, I was like, wait, what was that website? I think I'll go on to it.
I did exactly the same thing. It was, I actually didn't think of it until about a month later, and I was, like, I had just started college, and I was visiting my girlfriend at the time, and so I was bored, like, just pilling around on the internet and thought, what was that thing written on the back of that dude's back? And then went there, posted it, and I think Sammy immediately recognized me and said, dude, you gotta come, we play the following weekend.
Like, randomly went over to his college dorm, like, I was, like, 8. Barely, something like that. Just barely legal. Going to some college dude's dorm. not know what the hell I'm doing, get myself into. Sounds real sketchy. Kind of is.
Well, I think it's important to point out that this is back in, I guess it's around 2002 and maybe even a little bit before that. But this, for all of the advancement that the internet had made at this point, the internet was still thought of as a place that pedophiles exist almost unanimously. Like, basically, anybody that's on the internet inviting people over to their house is clearly a pedophile. And this was actually a pretty big barrier, especially for video games, to actually say, all right, we're going to put together a place where really, guys, we are really just going to go play video games all day, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, didn't you have that little barrier yourself with us the first time you came to hang out, Richard?
Oh, but going into that first meeting, we signed up on Smash Bros. And the Saz is like, come over and play. I'm like, oh, people play Smash Bros. On the weekend? This is the best thing ever. And I was like, Dad, you got to let us go. And that was when I was, 14 years old, pretty young. And my dad's like, all right, but if they do anything crazy, like drugs or anything, you call me and I'll come pick you up. I'm like, I think we're just going to play Smash Brothers. Strangely enough, I think that's all these guys want to do. And it was like the perfect kind of entry point, the perfect community.
And like,
yeah, I remember your dad. He came and like cased the joint and gave the seal of approval and finally left you guys. That was a lot of fun that day. I remember that Kirby of Nurgle guy. That guy was a jerk.
Yeah, that was the weird Kirby / name persona that I went by. Man, but speaking of my Kirby of Nurgle name, Josh, do you remember the story about how I got my current Smashboard name and internet persona?
No, I don't. I just kind of figured you were making like a KKK joke, but with, you know, Kirby. And you also are a crazy kid who plays Kirby, so I mean, it all just kind of made sense to me.
Well, Josh, you and I are actually the ones that came up with that.
Yeah, you guys gave me the name.
Oh, yeah? I don't even remember this stuff.
It was at Silas's place, one of those training days, one of those practice sessions. And I believe the conversation was something like, oh, man, this guy's some kind of crazy Kirby kid. And, like, from that day onward, to this day, I still go by...
Yeah.
Kirby kid or crazy Kirby kid.
Nobody would want to give you their controller out of fear of you completely demolishing it. Like, that crazy Kirby kid is here. Don't give him your controller.
You grabs in like 2 frames. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Mashing out of grabs. I played like a madman, but it was so much fun. And so we had a lot of fun playing at those sessions and then going into Most One. That was sort of like the big tournament that you guys sort of hosted and we tried to help. But then a lot of the stuff you guys did as far as reaching out to the community and getting everyone together, it still like resonates into everybody else's stories. Like, I talked to some of my old friends and they talked about you guys and how you guys helped gel us and put us all together. Then I talked to Drew and Chang. I interviewed them and they mentioned how it was basically you guys just reaching out, going over to the house one day and starting the ball rolling from there. So it's really like the glue is you.
Yeah, I remember the pre-Most days, how, like, we basically, like, every weekend, we either went to Houston, or we went to San Antonio, I think we went to Austin, like, we just went everywhere, like, every weekend, literally, just to play at Smash Fest. There weren't tournaments then. You went and you played Smash Fest. You drove 4 hours and didn't even try to win money. It was great.
Yeah, those are the days.
I think it really cannot be overstated that, like, Sammy put together a really great space that he knew exactly what to do. He invited everybody over and just had the TVs, controllers, multiple TVs sometimes set up and turned it into this infectious idea where, like, I came and saw it, Josh came and saw it, Richard came and saw it, and that you see that working, and then you take that back to your other group of friends. And just the idea of a Smash Fest, and this is before they were even regularly called Smash Fests or bi-weeklies. And the other thing was, once we started trying to get more competitive at it, and I think that's something that Sammy brought over from his exposure to the 2D fighting community, we noticed this really weird phenomenon where every single group of people had someone in that group that they all swore was the best in the country at Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, Sammy just corrected me on something. So wait,
played. I never had a 2D... background.
Exposure. Well, so I'm thinking like your friendship with Matt Deasy. as like somebody.
That arose from just straight up Smash. I never knew him before that.
Yeah, really? DZ. Yeah, DZ from Smash Boards. That's how I found out about him. I remember Sammy found out about him that way too. Sammy was the bridger of the gap, though. I think Sammy went to TG first, and then DZ was like, "All right, bro, payback." Came to most. Yeah, something like that.
What blows my mind are those guys in California bought me. They paid my way twice to their tournaments in California and exposed to me the ideals of PR and creating communities by cultivating relationships and creating friendships and networks so people come back. A lot of times, like, Austin would get mad at me for sandbagging. I saw sandbagging as important to do back then in order to give people that little nibble and to give them that little hope that kept them coming back instead of just utterly demolishing them. I don't know. That's how I saw the community. And I had fun, and I created friendships that way.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's actually a good point, though, because, like, was it Most 3 whenever Crystal City before the tournament were just pissing on people constantly and they wanted their money back? you don't want that in like when you're building stuff.
Here I asked the D crew why they put so much effort into building this community and playing Super Smash Brothers.
I think with everybody, even tournament organizers who don't think they have any hope, I think within them is always a little seed of hope that they might actually do really well. And I had that, but not enough. But that wasn't my chief motivation in playing this game and hanging out with the people that played. It really was the fellowship of the people that came to these tournaments. And I just try to find people who loved playing and loved hanging out and, you know, doing the best I can. I mean, I was still competitive, but I knew that there was people out there way better than me.
So, I don't know, I owe it so much. I mean, there were so many reasons to continue coming back. Like, the first one was just the personal friendships, that every single Saturday you go and play your game of pickup Smash Brothers with the same group of people, and that's amounted for such a massive and wonderful amount of time. But then there was the organizational aspect, like realizing that one of the most important things that you could do was turn tournament hosting into something that other people could do. So like in hosting a tournament, try to put it together in a way that then you show everybody there, all right, this is what a good tournament looks like. Now go do this next month without us. And by giving them those tools, that's what I actually look back on most fondly. It was not the larger most tournaments, but was rather what Josh talked about, which is traveling around the groups of people years before we actually hit a stride and planting those seeds, saying, this is how you host a tournament. And then a year later, that person that we hung out with a year before is pulling in 32 people and telling them, yeah, you have to go to this other tournament in Dallas with these guys. And then the PR aspect that Sammy talked about, for how do you make sure that it's fun for everybody in addition to the people that are really, really good. And then the last thing was the competitive part of it appealed to me very strongly, where I hadn't realized before that the work and give and take necessary to try to be better at something very specific than everybody else, and how quickly other people that are just better than you can possibly imagine come out of the woodwork and teach you new things.
So you really value that learning process and sort of putting yourself through the paces to see what you're made of.
Right, and that I think it's a non-obvious thing that trying to practice constantly, that it takes more than that. Because we would run into groups of college kids that have Smash Brothers in their common area, and they play for 6 hours a day every day because who wants to go to class? And they would be terrible, not because of lack of work, but because of just they were playing a different game than everybody else was. They were this was before the concept of play to win had proliferated throughout the video gaming community. and to see that you have to have this kind of mindful, persistent practice in order to get better at something, in addition to the fun parts.
In the beginning, what I really wanted out of it, I wanted to play Smash Brothers. Like, I loved Smash 64, but I could only play it with one of my brothers, and he wasn't that good, and he wasn't as into it as me. So I was like, okay, sweet, Smash Brothers Melee. He played it with me a little bit, okay, cool, but then he got bored. Then I found Silas. So initially, it was just entirely, oh, man, I got people to play with. This is sweet. And, you know, so we would go and go find other people to play with. I'm like, oh, man, there's even more people that we can play against. This is sweet. And, like, somewhere in there, I got this idea in my head that I was actually good. Like, complete delusion.
You wrote a guide. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did write an awesome Marth guide, the best Marth guide ever.
That Marth guide was incredibly important. Like, I thought that was fantastic, and even if it's... So we laugh now because it's very obviously antiquated and wrong in many cases. But at the time, there was not a place for people to go to actually try to play Marth better than everybody else.
Yeah. And at that point, that was when I was trying to be known. Like, it's either I wanted to be known for, you know, oh man, Corey guy's got a really good Marth, man. You can't beat him. He's so good. That never happened. But, you know, that was kind of my driving force. Mm-hmm. And then there was also, like, the just be known anyway. You know, like, the Marth guy. I actually, like, my proudest, most defining thing in my career in Smash is actually making the standardized terminology.
Oh.
Like... Yeah. I started F smash, D smash, F air, U air, because people would just type random shit.
Wow, I didn't know
they would
that.
Literally just do random, like, yeah, I'm going to do my forward reverse up smash in the air. I'm like, you can't, what is that? No, look, you have four attacks in the air. You can't just make stuff up, man. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I literally just kept on driving that and driving that and driving that until people picked it up. And I was like, I am accomplished. Yeah, and like that was a big thing that I realized. Like, you know, we can't communicate. And I was this is before I was a mod. I wanted to be a mod so that I could control these things more and be able to say, mm-hmm. okay, we can't communicate effectively if I'm speaking French, you're speaking Pig Latin, this guy over there is speaking, you know, German, yeah, you know, Japanese. So we're all going to speak Smash, and I'm going to start defining Smash right here so that we can start working on this. And that's definitely my proudest moment. Cause basically, I thought that I was good enough to win tournaments, like, up until most three, like, the end of most three, whenever I just got shut down. I was like, wow. You know
I lost
what?
My hope way before that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was real, real delusional. I was like, man, I may be able to pull this out. Nobody knows how to play against ICs. Oh, man, my ICs are really bad. This isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I know. I'll just play Doc. No one plays against Doc. Oh, I'm not good enough to play Doc. I don't like this anymore. Crap. So, like, that was my driving force. I wanted to be known. And even if I'm, like, not known, I mean, it's like, that makes me proud that I did that. And, I mean, like you were saying earlier, Richard, like, people remember us. Like, when Brawl came out, I got invited to a Brawl Smash Fest by a guy named Fogo. And,
oh, Fogo, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, we were just talking, and he's like, yeah, man, I need my crew, the G crew. I'm like, wait, this sounds familiar. He goes, yeah, man, G crew, like the D crew, because you guys were awesome, but, you know, we're good, something like that. Like, he wasn't trying to be patronizing, but he's like, yeah, we're the good crew, but I named it G, you know, like the D crew, because you guys were, you know, you were the start. I'm like, I like this guy. He knows his history.
I remember when Sammy was trying so hard to think of what to call us, he said, all right, and I think he sent it to me over AOL Instant Messenger, and he said, Matt, all right, I'm trying to think of a name for our group because we really need one. The name I currently have, it like the idea that I have sucks. It's D-Crew, spelled with a K. It's terrible. Let's think of a better one. And
I remember that AIM conversation,
and then we were like, wait, no, that's great. Let's just, or no, I think the decision was, let's run with that until we think of something better.
Yeah.
And then it was Sammy, too, that came up with Mother of All Smash Tournaments. Well, I would like to say thank you for tenaciously putting this together. Because, yeah, we're all, I mean, it's many years since the Smash community, so we're all in different parts of the city and country, and it's very cool to be able to talk to you guys tonight.
Yeah. Right.
And none of this would have never happened if we all hadn't come together, the common love for this game, and just being, you know, creating friendships with each other. Like, I had a vision, Matt focused it, Josh and everybody else provided the manpower to make these communities happen, and because of that, we've had a lot of fun.
No, I completely agree with Sammy, where it was a very fun and long and learning process about all centered around a video game, of all things. Like, what could be better?
And our ultimate goal the entire time was, you know, it sounds cliche, but it was always by the fans, for the fans. How do we create an event where everybody has the most fun?
And honestly, I like the scene. Like, I still go to those damn PM tournaments just to, like, go 2-0, just because it's still fun. I've acknowledged that I'm a terrible player at, like, every fighting game ever, and so now I'm just like, whatever, this is just fun. I've come a long way mentally since my glory days, as it were.
Yeah, it's a group of awesome people, and I think something I'm struck by every time I go to a Smash Brothers tournament, it's something that I first identified at that anime convention, actually, is everybody there is incredibly happy to be there. They're not doing it for, all right, I just have to go to this tournament to win money, or I'm going to get my ass kicked. They're going with their friends as a social event, and everybody is happy and demonstrates that to you. It's a very rare scene that you get to see that in.
I am very happy that Sammy randomly rounded us up, and I made that t-shirt that pulled everybody together. I made everybody go to Smashboards, and like, the teacher was probably the best thing that happened to me in my life. Like, seriously, like, I didn't really have like friends like you guys in high school. Like, I just had friends, and after high school, I just walked away. Like, whatever, they were not that important to me. Middle school, I don't remember anything from middle school. It wasn't a good time, you know. But then, like, getting out of high school, like, trying to start college, even though I didn't go through with it, and like, meeting you guys. Like, that's like, you guys are obviously my best friends. We've been, like, best friends for, like, 10 years. This is, like, the best thing. You guys are, like, my best friends, the best thing that's happened to me ever. And I love Smash Brothers so much more because of that. Like, I think that's a big part of why I love the game now. Because, like, my best friends are from this game.
From 2003 to 2008, the D Crew, Marcus, and I traveled to events, hosted tournaments, and fought our way through history. Sometimes we just hit the road or jumped into planes, not knowing where we were going exactly or who we'd be staying with. The Smash community has always been a huge net that can catch players whenever and wherever. And I came so close to winning many tournaments, but eventually I couldn't keep up. After sticking it out with Kirby...
Kirby was so bad, I don't think I can express how bad Kirby is.
One of the worst characters in the game. I eventually came to a point where I couldn't compete. All of my knowledge and tricks and experience couldn't get me over the obstacle that was me and my stubborn choice to main Kirby and only Kirby. And at some point, Marcus stopped playing singles and instead only played teams.
Yeah, some people see the light sooner than other people.
Missing out of the experience of singles competition and me sticking with Kirby really hurt our team, but we tried anyway. With our teamwork alone, we made a few upsets here and there, but ultimately didn't come close to winning any major tournament. And after flying to California for the OC3 tournament, another huge nationwide event, in 2007, and losing worse than ever, we were done with Melee. The sequel to Super Smash Bros. Melee is Super Smash Bros. Brawl for the Nintendo Wii. I wondered if I could get another chance to compete with Brawl. I wanted a fresh start, and I wanted to redouble my efforts, and I wanted to take competition seriously.
I had dreams of Pikmin dragons.
Pikmin dragons?
Yeah. All the dead souls of the Pikmin come back and form the visage of a dragon and destroys all opponents.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we were thinking about entering Brawl, which clearly seems a little bit less than focused, serious, competitive thinking. But at least I wanted to play all the characters in Brawl to avoid picking and sticking with another character as bad as Kirby. I wanted to find my answers, but something was different. This time, I was older, and I had less free time. In the community of players, spend a lot of their time connecting and training over the internet instead of in person like I was used to. This time there was YouTube and people could just watch videos of each other instead of traveling to their houses. And I still didn't have a consistent way to practice. I played often with my brother and our friend Matt, but we didn't have enough drive and character variety between us. So I settled for being a Smash Brothers researcher by hosting a tournament once every 2 weeks for a year. I was able to see firsthand how Brawl and its players were shaping up. The upcoming players grew so much better, so much faster than I thought. I did well in tournaments at first, with a few second place finishes, but my success dropped off quickly. And again, Marcus stopped playing singles and we were focusing on teams. And just like our crushing defeat that ended our Melee careers, at MLG 2010, we were defeated again, and that's when we quit Brawl. That's right. We quit Smash.
So, what was Team Terrell doing at Apex 2013? The biggest Smash Brothers tournament for Smash 64 Melee and Brawl in the nation? Why was Team Terrell back on the bracket? What brought us back?
What is it about Smash that makes us work so hard after losing so much? What is it about competing and digging deeply into gameplay that unites a community this way? Well, the best way to answer these questions is from listening to 60 Smashers that I interviewed at Apex 2013. So at Apex 2013, I interviewed a whole bunch of different Smashers and even other players that were there for different fighting games like Marvel 3 and Street Fighter 4. But here's the interesting part. All I asked them for was their name, what game they played, what character they played, how much they practiced. And then I asked them what drove them to compete in the video games that they play on this highly competitive level. That's it. That one simple question, and these are the answers I got. First up, we're going to look at what drives people, or what got them interested in the first place.
Alright, my name is, well, my tag is Nick Riddle. I play Zero Suit Samus in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. That's a hard question. It's basically, I just started playing, found Smashboards when Melee was there, went to a tournament, had a lot of fun. Probably what made me continue playing was a Ganon Ditto way back in the day between Thomas Tippman and someone from New York named Rafa in a Florida tournament, and the first time that I'd ever seen super good players playing each other, it's just, they were on Yoshi's, and they were fighting literally off stage. And that blew my mind, because I'm like, but everybody sucks off stage, right? But no, guess not.
Tom Casey, I'm the CEO of Genius Gaming. I provide the equipment for Apex, and I'm here to play in the tournament as well. I used to go by the name SB Soldier when I played Melee. I would spar with people like Korean DJ and stuff, and when I was in college, I got into competitive Smash.
I am Nairo, and I'm from New Jersey. I'm 16 years old, and I play Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And I use Meta Knight. I just like the competitive scene. I want to be the best. Like, yeah, I just want to be the best in the world. And I'm like almost there. Like, I'm like one of the top in the world. So I just.
Jason Zurin, YouTube King. I started Smash because I just love Smash. I love Melee, and then I found out that I'm really good. And then I just keep getting better. I got like super good in a short period of time. And then now it's just like I'm already this good. So why would I stop? You know, it's because I loved it. But Now I'm already here. Why stop now, you know?
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Mike Hayes. I'm a Marth Main from SoCal, one of the best Marths in the USA. I was just always a fan of competitive, everything competitive. Like growing up, I always played like Mortal Kombat with my uncle. You know, we always be playing. So I don't know. It's just really a matter of just playing someone, being in their head. I really like that aspect of being better than people at some things. I'm a friendly guy otherwise, you know, but when it comes to competitive aspects, I always want to be good at things.
My name is Brad. My gamer tag is Light, and I play Super Smash Bros. Melee.
And what character?
I play Peach. For me, I just like mostly friends. Like, they're a big influence for me. Like, I don't like going to tournaments by myself. I like to see my friends do well. I like to have them cheer me on. I cheer them on. And it's just, it feels good when you do well and you have all your friends just backing you up and just cheering you on. And it just makes you want to get better, at least for me.
My name is Crystal and my tag is Mizuki. And I play Falco in Melee. And I play Pit, Mario. That's about it in Project Melee. Competition is what I enjoy the most. It's not necessarily the winning or losing, but the, you know, competing with other people, trying your best.
Yeah. Well, my name's Orion, and my tag is Orion, so that's an easy one. I like improvement. I like the fact that if I put time into this game, and I don't mean just, like, half-assedly play it, but really focus and look at everything from different perspectives, that I improve. So, yeah, it just feels good to get better at something.
I'm agonizing. I play Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and I main Lucario. I'm pretty competitive in general, but I really want to represent females and be like one of the top players. And I love meeting new people and meeting people in the Smash community that are really, really cool.
My name is Hungrybox. I play Smash Bros. Melee. I play Digglypuff in Melee. I used to not be very good at the game, but then, you know, I don't know, when I was like middle school and high school, I got really good at the game, and I started winning tournaments, and there's like no greater feeling than realizing they might be the best in the world at something. So I've come here to win, not for the money.
Hi, I'm Vinny. I play Super Smash Bros. Brawl competitively, and I mean Ice Climbers in Game & Watch. I've always been like the underdog since Brawl started out, and ever since I've seen like consistent improvement, I've always wanted to reach that goal of being the best.
My name's Mango. I play a bunch of characters, but essentially I use Fox Falco, and I play Melee. You just, everyone, well, all the top players, we just play to, essentially to win. Essentially so you can brag about it more so you have bragging rights till. You just play to win, like, the money's not as important.
Myself, I'm Medio. I'm a Vega player from South Jersey near Philadelphia. Never really played fighting games or any competitive game that, for that matter, until I saw, like, the really old, you know, Daigo versus Justin Wong moment from Evo. And then I started watching.
I am Marlin Pie, and,
Street Fighter.
I play Street Fighter, Marvel, Persona, and a whole bunch of poverty games because it is fun. That is it.
That's it.
That's it. I'm not really playing for the money. It's just fun. I mean, like, if I'm playing for the money, I would play like top tier teams. But if, like, seriously, if I didn't play Viper, I would probably not be playing this game. So, you know, like, it's really for fun.
My name is Broken Tier Dominion. I play Street Fighter 4 because I've been playing fighting games for quite a long time. But the competitive drive to play came from an incident that happened in 2009. You know, my little brother got killed or whatever, RIP. Today is his birthday, as a matter of fact, January 11th. And ever since then, I just said to myself, life is too short. Just do what you want to do, and that's why I'm doing it.
Here's another interesting commonality between a lot of the players that I interviewed. Everyone, to get to that high level of competitive play, got wrecked at some point. They thought they were good, and they entered a real match, and they got shown exactly how bad they were. And I think that's an important step in order to improve. It's important to understand how good you are and how much more room there is to grow.
My name's Luis. As my tag, people know me as the Reflex Wonder, or Reflex for short. Play Brawl and Project M.
Can you play Wario?
Wario in both games, yeah. I've been playing these sorts of games for a long time. Started off being, you know, fun with friends. Heard about a competitive scene. I'm kind of a competitive person. So I figured I'd give it a shot. Got destroyed in Melee. But I mean, that's how it starts. You gotta get better.
Then Brawl came out and naturally started playing it. Got wrecked at first because I didn't have that much practice.
Alright, so I'm Pierce. I joined the competitive Smash community in 2006.
I played Melee then, of course, and, you know, of course, I became much more well-known. In my early days of Smash, I've always been a competitive person, and I guess I was one of those people where you could say I was the biggest fish in my pond kind of guys, where it was like, well, I beat all my friends in Smash, and, you know, I thought I was Mr. Hotshot, and anybody I came across, I was like, I can beat you in Smash. Well, one day, my friend Nick in high school, right, he was like, yo, my cousin's here, we're going to play you and your brother for money. And I was like, whoa, me and Donovan, like, we're like two of the best people I know. So I was like, you're bugging. So he was like, all right, cool, so we'll play. So we went to his house, and we played him. And we actually took games off of a competitive Melee player in doubles when he was playing with Nick. But, like, he just, obviously, I didn't even understand L-canceling or anything like that. I didn't know wave dash or nothing. So he got bodied. I was like, what's going on? This Falcon just comboing me. I don't have control of my character. This hit stun thing, I don't understand it. Like, so we get bodied.
My name is Dustin Carlson. My gamer tag is Denty. I play Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And what was the other?
Character.
Oh, and I play Olimar. What drives me is that it's a challenge, like, that I can measure. It's like, I always played video games growing up, and I always beat, like, every video game. And then it's like, I show up to a tournament, I get last place for a year.
And don't let me in any way fool you into thinking that it's easy to get to this point. The people that are fighting on this highest competitive level, they put so much practice into this game, so many hours over the years, and even over the last few weeks leading up into Apex. But you'll hear more about that right here.
I'm Sky, and I'm a Wario player from California. And I was explaining to Wyatt that, you know, Diddy Kong is extremely good, but obviously takes so much work, like months and months and months of practice.
Myself, I'm Medio. I'm a Vega player from South Jersey near Philadelphia. And when you, like, reach, like, your limit where you can't beat somebody, and you come back a month later, like, with your technology and beat them, it's like, wow, you know, if I can do this, what else could I, if I can, you know, beat this, you know, whoever's name is, maybe I can keep doing it.
I am Nairo. I don't have much people around my area. I used to have my brother, but now he moved, so I play computers a lot. Like, when I would come home from school, I'll play computers until I have to do homework. Then when I'm done with homework, play more computers and stuff. And then randomly, I just got good. I beat the best in New Jersey and stuff, and I just kept beating the top players. And I've been practicing a lot on matchups that I am not great at.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Mike Hayes. We always practice. Like, me and Tyler have been training. Me, Tyler, Rich Brown, playing for, like, the past 2 weeks straight, trying to get ready for Apex. Prove the West Coast.
How many hours a day would you say?
Probably, like, at least 5 or 6. Like, you know, I work full-time, and a lot of people go to school. But once I get off, like, we're just hitting the TV, you know, just playing all day. And go to bed, just practicing, keeping up in shape, man.
All right, my name is Sean Taylor. I play Smash Bros, and I play Tekken. I'm good at a lot of stuff, but, like, gaming is, like, what I really love to do. Like, it's just the competition, people's faces. I mean, just the enjoyment, the pure enjoyment of playing a game and seeing, playing and learning and getting better. Like, it's always about getting better. Like, you know, I was getting crashed. I was having fun. I was enjoying myself. And I saw myself taking more and more stock from people and getting better and better. It's all like, if you ever watch an anime or play a game, it's like just leveling up. You just level up and you keep getting better and better. That's all it's about, getting better. That's what drives me, just have fun and get better.
Because my brother and I played every single day, like, at least 3 hours. And that's how I got good at the games, because literally every single weekend, probably 2 or 1 day, we would always go over to Ford's place and just practice.
I wanted to get better, and so I just started seeing myself get better, and it felt good. But I still have a lot of improving to do. But as for how much practice I've done, I've actually been here on the East Coast for a month now training. Like, I came here early, sometime in December. And I've just been training with, like, CT0, M2K, Salem, and, like, Vinny and others.
Well, my name's Orion, and my tag is Orion. Honestly, it depends on the event. For Apex, obviously, I practiced a lot. But last week, I didn't practice at all. I did my tech skill warm-ups and everything else, but I said, you know, I put in a lot of hours before that, and no last-minute cramming is going to help that, so I'd rather be happy and relaxed when I come here. So that's that. The week before that, well, about a week and a half, I was living at my friend Riz's house, and I essentially just played 24/7. Just eat, sleep, brawl. And before that, I had been practicing and going to locals a lot, so a lot of hours.
Remember on my blog and when I explained the Trigon theory of video games, that thinking of games as art or just understanding gameplay requires understanding that games are all about learning. You learn the rules, you learn more about yourself, you learn more about the design of the system that you're engaging in. So learning is an inherent part of gameplay and it's something you really can't take out. But it surprised me when so many people that I interviewed also shared a lot of the same ideas. I didn't mention learning at all, and yet this is what we got.
All right, my name is Robert Wright. I go by the name Wobbles. The only real game I play, any fighting game, is Super Smash Bros. Melee, and I main the Ice Climbers. And for fun, I play Mario sometimes. First is stubbornness. After all these years, it's like, there are certain things that I just can't let go. There are certain matchups I still want to learn and practice, and I want to feel the taste of, say, like top three. If I can get top three at an ultra big major like this one, Apex, then I would be incredibly happy, and I could use that as the decline of my career. But until then, there's just too much about the game to keep learning. Every time I do something new or I pick up a new skill, I absolutely have to start implementing it. And by the time I'm done, I've found something else to start learning. So,
My name's Luis. As is my tag, people know me as the Reflex Wonder, or Reflex for short. I really enjoy learning about games. So when I get better, I acknowledge I get more options. And it feels good to know more things, I guess.
Yeah. Dave, we wouldn't have crew meets. Me and my boy Jordan, you know, his tag was Monk. We would go over, we would just grind it out, practice, 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 and that's literally all I love doing. I was completely obsessed with the game. When there was nobody left to practice with, go home, hop on Smashboards, hop on the Northboards, here's what I learned today, here's some articles for the community, hop on the Regional Zones Thread Talk, and you know, this was every single day. So that's basically, I grinded my way super hard from the top, and let me tell you, hard work and practice definitely pays off, because when I started getting lazy and stopped practicing, that's when I really did start falling off. It's very difficult to learn how to learn. Once you learn how to learn, then anything else is achievable. Two major things about me. The first one is that I'm going to say I'm done, but then I'm never really done, and Pierce talks forever. You can tell it even by the way I write guides online. But the second thing about me is that, you know, I love teaching. 100%, I love teaching. I love talking. I love discussion. You know, I just love communication.
Okay, well, my name is Jeff, but everyone knows me by Axe. I play Melee, and I play Pikachu a lot. So I've been playing pretty much every day. I don't really have many people to play with. I have like Ty and other people, but they live kind of far from me, so whenever I can't play them, I just practice by myself. I'm always working, so I can't really go out all that much.
More than normal. I mean, it's not that much. I have a job. I'm vice president of a business, so like Sunday through Friday I'm busy until 5 o'clock. But I was playing a couple hours a day for 2 weeks before Apex, and then I would go home and at night I'd practice Texico for a bit.
And here's what everyone had to say about the community of Smashers and competitive players that were a large influence on the scene that they entered.
I'm Sky. I wouldn't be the player who I am today if I didn't, like, you know, have hope from some top players that says, oh, you know, you can do it, or, oh, you know, this character's good, you know what I mean? It really helped shape who I am.
Myself, I'm Medio. I'm a Vega player from South Jersey near Philadelphia. Human opponents are more like, are smarter and more bloodthirsty than anything you'd ever see in any single player game. Yeah. And ever since then, I'm just, you know, after the rush of, you know, meeting these players that I follow from YouTube, like Arturo Sanchez, Dominion, Chris G, Wolfcrone, like, you know, you're starstruck almost when you see them. To get them to fight them is a really good opportunity.
My gamer tag is Polygrip. I can't believe how many people actually play this game. It's kind of impressive, actually. Shit. Just think Smash Brothers Brawl, and I don't know, this turnout's pretty awesome. People flying in from Japan and stuff too, that's just nuts.
My name is Esam. I mean, it's really fun to see all the people, you know, having a bunch of friends across the country is really, it's a cool experience, definitely, for sure.
But, you know, I kind of rose up there, and I got to meet a lot of cool people, you know, Inui, Atomist, Mewtwo King, and that really opened up options, because they were experienced players from the Melee days, and it opened up my options of traveling. So then I got to start going to the larger events, and I formed my crew, Zodiac Braves. I met a bunch of cool players. Those guys are my brothers to this day. Even though we don't play Smash as much anymore, you know, to this day I always say they're my brothers. So I formed a lot of friendships through Smash, and it just became a really awesome thing for me. And it was literally the best time of my life.
Blazin' Alex, I play Super Smash Brothers Brawl, and I main Link. Really, it's not. I'm not really like competitive or anything, but going to the scene and meeting all these people, and I just come here to have fun. It's a great game. Even if you don't want to compete here, you should still come here. Everyone here is friendly. You'll have a lot of fun here. You'll always meet someone who's willing to play.
My name's Hungrybox, and then secondly, to see a bunch of really cool people. I play because the community is amazing, and it's one of the greatest communities I've ever been part of.
All right, Chudent, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and Kirby. Yeah, the people talking with everyone is like really, really fun, and I'm 62. It, mainly the people, man. Yeah. That's the only reason I'm here. Like, everyone's awesome, and that's why I keep going to tournaments.
Okay, my name is Zeden. I play Smash Brothers Brawl. I'm a Midwest Fox main. I would say probably the reason why I come all the way out here is probably just because of the people. The people and just the experience, because when can you go to somebody and they say they've been to, like, New Jersey for a week and then come back the next day, you know? You got stories to tell.
I'm DOH, I play Melee, and I main Peach. It's fun, it's nice, it's, like, it's good to see the community. Like, I wouldn't come here if it weren't for the people, probably. I love teams, so I came here. I came here to do well teams, and it's nice to see everyone from all over the world. Like, players from Australia, Germany, the rest of Europe, Sweden, like, they all come because they love this game, and it's nice to share that passion.
Yeah, my name's GP. I'm commonly known as Golden Psycho. I play Ike and Ganondorf in Brawl. I come from England. I've come here. This is the second time I've come here now. In England, there isn't much of a competitive scene. We have it, but it's not very lively. Here, there is at least 400 people standing here. And that's just now. I mean, on Saturday, there was too many people. It was like, you know, you couldn't move. It was like, but no, it's just great fun. And you know, it's good. It's good to meet new people. So, I mean, I can say to my friends at home, I know like at least 100 people in America personally. It's great.
Apex 2013 was an amazing event. Everyone put their skills to the test in respect for the game and each other. Everyone hoped for success and everyone learned something from the experience. And the biggest surprises came from the Brawl Grand Final, when Salem, a Zero Suit Samus player, defeated Mewtwo King, one of the best Meta Knight players in the world. Listen to this.
Salem flipping the tables again.
That could have been it right there. Mewtwo King has to play very safe. He cannot get hit by anything.
Salem getting opening up a little bit here.
Just a little bit. Oh my gosh. Mewtwo King. Whoa, somebody fell off the stage. Someone just fell off the stage in hype. Oh my gosh. That could have been it. What? This is screaming out Mewtwo King! This is screaming out Mewtwo King!
Oh, he's gonna go up!
He's going up! He almost dies!
Oh, man!
What? That is so close! Why is this so close? What the f- Let's sit back!
And I can't sit down anymore!
Oh my god!
What the f- This man is so real!
Gameplay is the structure through which we can express ourselves. By putting ourselves through the rigors of competition, we better understand ourselves and each other. Embracing competition and gameplay is about being snapped into reality. Strangely enough, by stepping into a world that seems all about non-real virtual interactions, we gain a lens to clearly see our real shortcomings and strengths. And every step of the way, we learn. We learn and are humbled by every defeat. We set our goals on the top, and we form bonds and memories as we strive for that goal. And we've built the Smash community around these experiences. How we play Smash Brothers or other video games is not trivial. Players are really imprinted into the game, and we express ourselves pretty accurately through the game. So what were the Terrell brothers doing competing at Apex 2013 after they had quit Brawl years before? Why did we put in the time to practice? We were there because we couldn't quit, not on what we were fighting for. For a few months before the tournament, we practiced harder, and we took Brawl more seriously than ever before, and all to see how far up the mountain we could get. And we did well considering how far behind we were to begin with.
The Terrell brothers are still a team, creating video games and working in the gaming industry. I actually got my first industry job as a QA tester through a recommendation from an old Smash Bros. Buddy. I'm still holding on to these stories and these histories, trying to find a way to express them to you. Because when I find something I value, something that I can believe in or fight for, I can't help but absorb it and project it back into the world. It's what I do, and it's who I am. I've been playing Smash not only because it's a great game that will evolve over time and give me great gameplay for every hour that I put in. I play Smash because it's a way I fight for a style of play that I was taught long before Brawl, Melee, and Smash 64. Long before the SNES. When I was 3 years old, my brother taught me a style of play with Super Mario Brothers. It was a funny, lighthearted, freewheeling, risky, exhilarating style of play, and it's the kind of raw creative style that Marcus came up with on his own. Maybe he was born with it. But for me, like Kirby, I absorbed his style and added my own twists. My primary reason for playing Smash or any other game isn't to win or to beat other players. It's to fully engage in a system that I can absorb and display all the people and styles that I valued growing up. It's a way of holding on to memories and telling stories on the battlefield. It's my way of understanding myself and the world better, and it's only possible through gameplay. Strangely enough, the first game that I ever played with my brother when we got our very first gaming console, the NES, wasn't Super Mario Brothers at all. It was a janky little game called Kung Fu Heroes. And we played it first because it had two-player co-op. That's right, we've been Team Terrell since I can remember. And just me and my brother beating up on computers, watching each other's back, developing wacky techniques that probably weren't the most effective, fighting and never being done. Crazy, huh? Everything about my name, Crazy Kirby Kid, represents where I've come from as a gamer and designer, and what I will hold on to moving forward, playing with my brother and meeting new Smash Brothers from around the world.
You guys are like my best friends, the best thing that's happened to me ever, and I love Smash Brothers so much more because of that. Like, I think that's a big part of why I love the game now.
Those guys are my brothers to this day, even though we don't play Smash as much anymore. You know, to this day, I always say they're my brothers. They're my brothers. They're my brothers. They're my brothers. They're my brothers.
Thanks to Doug Binion, Chris Simpson, and Travis Clark for smashing with us in the early days. Thanks to Matt Fairchild, Silas Elias, and Corey, or Josh, for the contributions to the second part of this show and the grassroots competitive Smash scene.
And thanks to all the fighters at Apex for their time and honesty.
And special thanks to Masahiro Sakurai for creating Super Smash Bros. And retweeting a Kirby blanket that I received for my birthday.
All music is taken from Super Smash Bros. Melee and Brawl.
If you want to know more about the game design of Smash Brothers, you can visit my blog, criticalgaming.com. That's critical-gaming.com. Or you can reach me directly. All the contact information is on my blog as well. And my Twitter is @KirbyKid, all one word.
And I'm @DrHaji.
If you want to join in on the Smash Brothers conversation, then join me and others online for a B-side recording of this episode. This is an opportunity for you to bring your questions and discussion topics to an open forum that I record for a follow-up episode of Critical Casts. Because I have so much extra material, I also plan on including segments from a special guest working on projects supporting various competitive communities from Marvel 3, Street Fighter, and Project M. See you next time. All right. You think we should do one last one?
For the... let's give it a go.
Let's give it a go. Here we go. One, two.
Super Smash!